Hello and welcome back to the Already Friends podcast. This is Kara.
And this is Allison.
Today we are doing an episode all about increasing your productivity at home, not only just doing tasks and working a lot, but also just being aware of your time and what you're doing in your day-to-day life. So we're going to give some tips for how we try to use the most of our time, because time is money and we all get the same amount of hours in a day, but it's how we use them. And I know sometimes, at least for myself, I can fall into the habit of being too much on my phone or being a little lazy. So these tips are some good reminders for how to use our time wisely.
Absolutely. And because for most of us, it's getting colder outside, so we're naturally spending more time indoors, our homes have to serve as this place where we're sleeping there, we're working, maybe you're studying if you're still in school, you're doing creative stuff, maybe you're like us and you made curriculum for the semester, you're engaging in self-care activities. And so we're going to talk about how your home can efficiently house all of these different aspects of our life so that we can get them accomplished and be present and not feel so overwhelmed by all of the things that we need to do, quote, at home. But first, as always, we're going to do our catch up, then share our peaks, and then we'll get into it. You are in, I think, a sunny place. I'm so excited to hear about whatever you're there for, because this kind of popped up.
Yeah, so I'm in Costa Rica for work right now. So fun. We're in the Guanacaste province, which is in the north. New province for me. I'm slowly making my way all around the country. Because as you guys know, we did our Already Friends Costa Rica trip actually pretty much exactly 2 years ago to this day. So it's so fun being back here. And I'm thinking of all the fun things we did as a group. Literally at breakfast this morning, there was the whole display of fruits. And I'm like, oh my gosh, where's the rambutan? Like, we all tried that one fruit together on our trip, the rambutan, and there was this whole thing. So yeah, so many good memories being back here with our little Already Friends group. But yes, here till Wednesday. It's Sunday right now. And I got here a couple days early because I wanted to explore and have some free time. So got here and went to Playa Conchal, which is probably like 30 minutes from when, right now I'm in Playa Hermosa. So I went like 30 minutes away because I wanted to see a different part of this province as well. And Playa Conchal is a very famous beach and it's known for having all these amazing, gorgeous shells. So really happy that I stayed by there because I did get up every morning and kind of walk the beach. You don't get to keep the shells. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's
illegal.
Oh my
God, I was just about to ask, like, how do they maintain keeping all the beautiful shells there?
No, I was reading all about it. Honestly, it's a problem because there's even more beautiful shells because it's not like a sand beach. It's like a shell beach. And yeah, sadly, people are ruining it. But because I mean, like, in all the trips that I've taken to places just growing up throughout the years, like, when you take a shell, you literally never look at it again. So I'm like, I don't need a shell. So I was just admiring them, picking things up, looking at them, putting them back. I tried to go snorkeling, but the water was really rough because this is kind of the end of the rainy season. So they say November can be the transition because I guess like December through April is the dry season, the best time to be here. So I'm kind of in that transitional period. So I was going to try and snorkel because that's also a really good place for snorkeling, but the waves are just so big. And I was like the only one out on the beach because I went really early every single morning. And I'm like, I don't feel safe. And then I was Googling it later and it was like, yeah, do not snorkel when like the waves are really big. You can like get thrown into rocks. It's just really dangerous. It's not even fun. And also the visibility isn't great because the waves are just making the sand kick up and it's not even clear. So I'm like, okay, good call. And not snorkeling, but I used my time to shell instead. And I didn't bring anything to the beach. I only brought my snorkel and my fins because I'm like, if you're in the water snorkeling, you can't watch your stuff. So I'm like, well, I just walked. And that's the other thing about Playa Conchal is like, you have to walk a mile to get there. It's very remote. So I'm like, dang, I'm going to be walking 2.5 miles round trip. I better make this time worth it. Instead of snorkeling, so I did shelling. And that was great. So yeah, I'm very much enjoying the beach. And then I also did a free diving class the first day I was here. There's a tour company called Altum Spear Fishing and Free Diving. And you can get like a full 3-4 day free diving certification. But I didn't want to get here like Tuesday or Monday. I didn't want to hear that early. So I'm like, let me just do the day intro. You get to kind of try it out, which basically free diving is where you're going 20 meters down into the ocean. And you're holding your breath and you're learning how to hold your breath for like 2-3 minutes to dive really deep down. And it was really interesting. It was really fun. I will say, I guess since I did it the day after I flew, my left ear was having so much trouble equalizing, which I'm really good at popping my ears underwater. Like, I've never had a problem with that because I swam competitively my whole life and have been in a lot of pools and like I've been in the big diving wells, like gone 15 feet down, pop my ears. And so it was so frustrating because I couldn't, I was doing the course, but couldn't get as far deep down as I wanted because my freaking left ear would just stop popping. And if you guys know, going down into deep water, there's a lot of pressure. So I kind of put on my Instagram story. I'm like, I kind of flopped, kind of failed at freediving, but it's okay. It's okay to be a beginner at things. He was like, you know what? You just got off a plane. Like, your ears could be still equalizing to just the pressure from the airplane. And it's also just a muscle memory. You just got to flex it. So maybe one day I'll do the actual certification. But, you know, it was fun to try something new and be bad at something.
Honestly, good for you. That sounds really intimidating and scary and cool. One of my good friends is like an intense freediver. And I'm just so impressed by people who can do freediving because not only is it the holding of the breath, it's being in the ocean at the same time. That sounds so crazy to me. But I honestly think it worked out okay that you just did the trial class, not like a trial class, but like the intro, so that now in the future, if you do the full certification, you can coordinate your travel to like get there early, get acclimated.
For sure. And
you think you'll do it?
Yeah. Well, I also want to get scuba diving certified. So now I'm thinking maybe I do scuba first and then do free diving. I think scuba's a lot easier because you don't hold your breath. The instructor, Frank, he was really nice, highly recommend. But he was like, everyone thinks freediving is all about how deep you can go, but it's also just about being comfortable holding your breath for so long. So when I couldn't get down as deep as I wanted, I was like, okay, let me just practice staying down as far as I can go. Because I think I got about 20 feet down, which isn't very impressive. People go like 80 feet, or I don't know. I don't know meters and feet, but I know he's saying like people go like 20 meters down. And I was like, okay, well, I can't go much further because my freaking left ear is just not cooperating. So let me just practice like staying down here and being comfortable, being uncomfortable. And so that was a good challenge too. So, but yes, I do want to do a full certification. Oh, and that was, okay, another thing with my freediving. Since it's the rainy season, it was so murky. Like the water was not clear at all. I would go maybe like 10 feet down and you couldn't see me. Maybe even like 5 feet down. He had to come down with me because he couldn't see me from the top of the water. And even if he would go down to show me how to do something, you literally couldn't see him. And he's like, yeah, a lot of people probably wouldn't free dive in this. It's boring for them or it's just not as fun. So there were some obstacles in my way. But I'm glad that I did the intro, like you said, to feel it out. And I feel like everyone should do an intro before they dive into the full certification because that might have not been for some people. Because when your body's screaming at you to breathe and you're just like learning how to ignore it, and telling yourself to chill out, it's quite scary. A funny fact that I don't know who told me, if he told me this or where I heard this, but you know, for scuba diving, you don't know how to swim. Isn't that crazy?
You don't have to know how to swim?
Yeah, because you have oxygen and you're not like at the surface of the water. Isn't that hilarious? It's kind of like a shower
thought.
Do you
not have to?
You don't know how to swim to scuba dive? I mean, because like, think about it. To know how to swim is so that you don't drown above water. But if you're scuba diving, you have an oxygen tank. So like technically you don't have to know how to swim because you have oxygen.
Okay, I guess I see halfway what he's saying with the breath holding. But wouldn't you still have to be comfortable like paddling and moving your arms and legs to get around?
I mean, I feel like everyone instinctively can know how to kick flippers underwater. But
yeah, I mean, one would hope.
Just the thought that like someone that doesn't know how to swim can scuba dive and still not know how to swim.
Interesting.
It's just like a funny, mind-blowing fact.
Well, all in all, your underwater explorations are really kicking off this year.
The underwater explorations curriculum. Back to curriculum.
There you go.
Passing with flying colors, underwater explorations. So yeah, that was my week. And then I guess just like before I got here, another fun thing I wrote down was that I had friends over for the Dancing with the Stars Halloween night. Oh, everyone is crushing it with their Halloween costumes. I feel like I've never seen so many good Halloween costumes as I have this year. I'm so sad I didn't participate.
Yeah, Halloween is one of your favorite holidays, isn't it?
I mean, in the past, I just love being creative and thinking of fun costumes. I haven't dressed up in like 3 years because I think the last 3 years I've been traveling. So it's been kind of sad because I haven't gotten to do anything. I guess I could have done stuff early, but ran out of time. But I like, I don't know if you've seen, like, I just feel like everyone really got creative this year. I saw so many good costumes. So hope everyone had a good Halloween.
No, I genuinely forgot it was Halloween. And one of my friends sent a picture of their daughter in like a full fairy princess costume. And I didn't clock that it was Halloween. So I just replied like, haha, she's like totally being a 3-year-old wearing whatever she wants. And my friend was like, dude, it's Halloween. I was like, oh, I just thought you were letting her express herself fully. Like, I was here for it.
That's hilarious.
Because it's not really a thing here. There's probably some Halloween parties in Amsterdam, but kids don't trick or treat or anything. So it was kind of sad. Actually, I was actually would have loved to hand out candy this year.
Aw, they have a little bit of celebrations for Halloween here just because of American influence. And on Halloween, there were a ton of parties apparently out and about in all the different towns, Halloween parties. Wow. So it's spreading. But enough about me. How was your week?
It was a very normal week. On the topic of today's episode, I'm feeling very productive, very organized, and very grounded. Literally because I can't travel anymore, I think is why. I'm so used to having so many trips that I haven't ever just been in a really solid routine for like 6 months. And I'm like, oh, wow, is this how life is when you don't travel around all the time? Like, what a concept. So I went to my regular prenatal Pilates classes. Now it's twice a week because they added Wednesdays. So I did that, prenatal yoga, face yoga, cow ceremony Friday, my weekly massage. And then over the weekend, we went to see two movies with our movie membership. We saw Springsteen, which has Jeremy Allen White in it. And then we went to Regretting You, which is a Colleen Hoover book turned movie. And it was so good. Like the best movie I've seen since F1 earlier this summer. It was the perfect combination of like romance and funny and a good storyline. I liked the charisma between the actors.
I must be living under a rock. I didn't even realize this movie came out. That's amazing. I didn't read this book though. So I guess maybe that's why I kind of didn't know what happened. But that's good to know.
Yeah, isn't it funny how the Blake Lively one got so much press and then this one got basically none?
Wow. Yeah, and there's some big people. Dave Franco.
I know.
Allison Williams. She's kind of big.
And wow. The younger boy, he's the same lead actor as in How to Train Your Dragon, which was also really big this year.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like maybe it's not getting the attention that it deserved, but I was very impressed. I cried and I felt a lot of connection with the daughter and just what she was going through. And was feeling like, oh, I see how her actions at 16 and my actions at 16 were very similar. And she came a long way to overcome her behavior.
I know it's a popular book. I got to add that to my reading list. And I love when a movie, I feel like that motivates you to read a book faster. You know, you can watch the movie afterwards.
Yeah, I will admit, I didn't even know it was a Colleen Hoover movie until it went to the ending credits and it said her name on there. I was like, oh my God, this makes so much sense. Because it did have her stamp, you know, it's her style, the romance, the kind of cheesy love. And then I'm having to work a lot right now because I'm trying to plan ahead. Now that we're in the final stages of pregnancy, I have about, well, his due date is November 30th, so less than a month left. And so for work things, I'm really trying to get as much done in advance as I can. I'm not planning to take a maternity leave, but I know that I'll, you know, be slower to reply to messages and a little less involved when he does come. But the timing of it, owning a retail store, he could come around Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, pre-holiday shopping. And so even though it's a few weeks out from that, like I need to get all of that dialed in and locked in ASAP. And then a few other pregnancy things. I won't go into it too much because if you guys are a part of the Patreon, we have a new episode that goes live the first of every month. And so yesterday I did one in there all about pregnancy. I answered 20 questions about how pregnancy has been going, birth, plans for how I'm going to go about laboring, any concerns with parenting. So if that's of interest to you and you want to know more, that is on our Patreon page. But some quick shouts for this week, just because this is pretty much my life. I'm always like, what can I say that doesn't have to do with pregnancy? Oh, wait, hardly anything, because everything is surrounding this, especially at this stage. But I started reading Ina May's Guide to Childbirth. I had so many people recommend it, and pretty much every podcast episode I've listened to of someone's birth story, they also recommend it. And while I will say it's really, really, really good and so much of like my core values and perspective, I wasn't really surprised by anything in it, or I felt like I already knew a lot of that information just because of how I've approached my life in general from more of a holistic lens and then pregnancy as well. But it did help validate the feelings, I guess, that I have around wanting to birth naturally. And then I went to a mommy meetup on Wednesday. There's a cute kids boutique / cafe on my street. And the owner, she's from South Africa. And her and I have like so many parallels in our lives of things in common, timelines in common, store stuff in common. So it was really interesting. But she hosted people at her shop for a mommy meetup. Well, everyone else was already a mom. I was the only pregnant person. And so it kind of turned into them all sharing and giving me advice, which was really great to my benefit. And the topic was on feeding / breastfeeding. So I was really grateful to have so many different perspectives and stories shared. And then tomorrow we meet our cram zorg, which I don't think I've talked about on here. This is a total Dutch thing, but I don't think I've shared with you guys how fascinating this is. So after you give birth, you have a dedicated midwife who comes to your home for about 40 hours, split across like a week or two. And they literally do chores. They cook, they clean, they run errands for you. They help you with breastfeeding. They make sure the baby's okay. They literally just do whatever you need to do, and it's covered by your insurance.
Yeah, McKenna has told me about this before, and she's like, it is so unfair. Why don't we have this?
Isn't that insane? Like,
yeah, it's really nice.
Every country should do that. And we've been slacking on it. You're supposed to get your cram zorg assigned between week 12 and 16. And so when we were at the midwife last week, we were like, yeah, we don't have it yet. And they were like, why? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I'll get around to it. And they were like, no, it's literally free. It's so helpful. Please call and get one. Like, you want this. And I was like, I know, but we work from home. Like, I don't know why I'm like kind of feeling bad having someone come and do those things for me. And they were like, absolutely not. Call this list of people this week and get someone to come over. So we meet her tomorrow morning. And apparently this is even kind of like more savage. If you don't like the person, you can just request a different one. Like, it's kind of sad. Like, how would you even go about it? But it's nice, I guess, that they give you the option if you're not vibing well, because it's a very, you know, vulnerable time after giving birth. You definitely want someone in your house that you bond and enjoy being around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's hilarious. You'd be like, bye, didn't vibe with you. But, and don't they just make sure that you know how to breastfeed and like all these things that in the US, they just kind of send you out and they're like, okay, see ya. Good luck.
Yeah. I realized it's like in place of the pediatrician appointments. So you know how like new moms in the US have to drive in and go to these appointments and make sure they're gaining weight, and I don't even know what else they check, just make sure that the baby's doing fine. Well, they've decided here that it's pretty unfair to have a new mom driving or cycling or leaving her home right after giving birth and having to take a baby to these appointments. And they're like, so we come to you. So the cram zorg, yeah, it's like all around support. They're weighing, they're helping you breastfeed, they're providing emotional support, answering any questions, making sure they're not sick, a whole slew of things.
Well, I'm glad you got your person figured out. Just another step as you're getting closer.
I know, so many steps. They just keep coming. And I'm like, that's why I think I'm finally feeling better now, because we had this laundry list of so many things to do from when we first thought of moving to the Netherlands, to getting here, to getting the apartment, to getting the visa, to getting everything furnished and homey, to health insurance, to the Dutch phone, to Wi-Fi. Like, the amount of things that we had to figure out has been astronomical. And now, like, this week, I'm like, oh, I didn't actually have, like, a brand new thing to figure out this week. Like, wow, kind of nice. I mean, I'm still trying to learn about labor and stuff, but there weren't any foreign things to figure out this week for, like, literally the first time in 6 months. It was great.
Yeah. Well, anything else? I should do peaks of the week.
Yeah, let's go into peaks. It's Sunday, and normally we record on Mondays, sometimes Sundays if we have stuff going on. But tomorrow, Clay and I are going to the Tom Odell and Chance Pena concert in Amsterdam. And I am so excited because Clay and I love Chance Pena. And when we found out that he was going to be here right at like the end of my pregnancy, we found this out when we were like still hadn't even moved here yet. And or we were like thinking of moving here and we were like, oh my God, that would be so magical, like serenading him. What if it makes me go into labor because we're just so full of love and oxytocin? And oh, I cannot wait. I feel like it's going to be so magical.
Oh my gosh, so fun. Enjoy. I literally just looked up because I'm like, I know this artist, but not off the top of my head, but I have one of his songs saved, The Mountain Is You.
Yeah, and Black Friday by Tom Odell, I also think a ton of people know, but maybe wouldn't recognize his name per se. But then once they heard the song, they'd be like, oh yeah, okay.
One time on a trip with like a group that I really got along with, we were on a flight together and we're like, okay, everyone send a song that you're really resonating with and share it. This is like last year, actually probably about a year ago as well. And I sent that one. That was my song that I sent to the group.
No way.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Kind of funny. I very vividly remember that.
For a while then.
No, I'm a fake fan. I know only one song, but I'm excited for you to enjoy it and have the best time.
Thank you, thank you. And what was your peak of the week?
I wrote down finding pretty shells at the beach, but I feel like I should change it because my peak is probably this hotel that I'm at right now. It's a brand new hotel. We're at the Waldorf Astoria, Costa Rica, which is so nice. And I'm just always very grateful when I get to stay at nice hotels for work because it would be crazy how much money it would cost to be here on my own dime. It's really nice. I had to come for work and we had a little bit of downtime yesterday and today. So I'm very appreciative that I get to enjoy the hotel as well.
It's very good that you're appreciative after going to so many different countries and staying in so many hotels that it still has a wow factor for you. Because I could see someone in your case not being as mindful of how uncommon it is for people to actually get those experiences.
No, you know? For sure. There are definitely people. Yeah, so like in all industries that get cynical to the stuff, like just across multiple different, you know, things where you get really cool stuff and it loses its luster. But no, I agree. I try to be appreciative. Because it's funny because like even when I got here early, I stayed at like a $60 a night hotel. And I'm like, honestly, that was fine too. So if you're not staying in these like bougie, it's like, I don't know. It's all about being here. And I feel like each place has its own thing. Like at the other hotel, I feel like I got to bond with like the staff and the hotel. I don't know. Everything has its own. But I agree. I try to always appreciate the nice places.
Well, and now you keep getting rewarded with them.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Okay. Listener's peaks?
Yes. Well, speaking of hotels, Hannah said, my husband and I stayed the night at a hotel in our home city, which was such a fun way to explore our area. I love that. And I couldn't agree more. It's also like the perfect balance of feeling like you went on a trip, but not having to have the costs or the logistics, taking time off from work of planning a vacation. It's so low key. So that's fantastic.
Sarah said, finally went in and got my oil change for my car. It's always a task we like to put off sometimes, but very proud of you that you got it done.
Okay, I just have to say it, and this is stupid, but my equivalent now, because I have a bicycle here, not a car, is my front headlight went out on my bicycle. And you can get pulled over here if you don't have a working headlight. And I have been putting it off for like 2 weeks and I need to do it. So thank you for inspiring me because that's literally the smallest task and it's probably going to cost like $10. So thank you. I need to do that this week. And Jaden said, I had my first in-home session with my client and it went well. Congratulations. I hope for more of that to come for you.
And Max said, my cousin is coming to visit me. We're going to have some much needed girl talk catch-up time. Enjoy the time with your cousin. That sounds like the best. As always, send in your peaks on our Instagram page, Already Friends Podcast. We post a story box every Monday. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and talk about one of our sponsors real quick, Shopify. As you guys know, starting a small business, there's nothing small about it. There are so many things to do. And both myself and Allison run a business, obviously, we run this podcast, and it has been consuming us since we started. There's always a new decision to make. And sometimes those small decisions feel so massive. And something that really helps you when you have a small business is choosing a company that has a great reputation, that does things right, so that the small decisions can be the right decision. So that's why we love Shopify. It is the best commerce platform, and Shopify is behind millions of businesses around the world. Did you know it actually is 10% of all e-commerce in the US is Shopify? So that's brands like Mattel, Gymshark, Skims, you name it. Those brands use Shopify. You can tackle all of your important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more. Shopify makes the marketing minefield easy with built-in tools for running social media and email campaigns, so you can find new customers and keep them. And if you're looking to grow your business internationally, Shopify has global selling tools that can help you in over 150 countries. I mean, for us, it's a no-brainer. Shopify is the e-commerce platform to use if you're selling anything online. Get all the big stuff right for your small business right now with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/alreadyfriends. You can use the code alreadyfriends to get a $1 per month trial. Again, at shopify.com/alreadyfriends. Thanks to Shopify for sponsoring the show. Okay, the holidays are sneaking up fast, and it is not too early to get started on your holiday shopping and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods is making holiday shopping way less stressful this year with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts that you cannot find anywhere else. Uncommon Goods is the best place to discover extraordinary designs from small businesses and independent makers since 1999. It's truly the perfect name for this website because there are so many unique and interesting gifts for anybody in your life, and there's so many different niches. The mixologists, the gardeners, the diehard football fans, the history buffs, the book lovers, whatever your person that you're shopping for is interested in, you're gonna find something special and unique on Uncommon Goods. One scroll through their site, you'll know what I'm talking about. There's just so many unique niche gifts, and they're all from independent artists, small businesses, so you feel good supporting them. A lot of these gifts are made in small batches, so when you're shopping for the holidays, shop now because they will sell out, which is a great thing because we love a small batch unique gift. Also, every purchase at Uncommon Goods, they give back a dollar to a nonprofit partner of your choice, and they've donated more than $3 million to date. So get started early on the holiday shopping this season at Uncommon Goods. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/alreadyfriends. That's uncommongoods.com/alreadyfriends for 15% off. Do not miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
All right. Why are we doing this topic? Like we said, colder weather is coming, which means more time indoors. And a lot of people struggle with seasonal depression, myself included. And even though it is festive time and there's so many beautiful, magical things about this time of year and the seasons, I feel like there is also a lot of heaviness within that because it is getting darker. The days feel shorter. It's colder. Maybe you're grieving something. Things are slowing down. You're starting to process stuff in your life. There's less activities going on outdoors like you had in the summer. And so we were kind of thinking it would be a different spin to talk about productivity at home in a way that's mostly about being present and leaning into those wellness and self-care practices and creative activities that we do indoors, and how we can maximize our home spaces in a time-efficient manner so that we don't feel stressed and overwhelmed trying to, quote, like, get it all done. Because also this time of year, I feel like it's easy for people to feel stressed and busy. It's like year-end numbers at work, and you got to go shopping for all of these gifts, and you have to decorate, and you have this holiday party. And so in the midst of all of that, how can you make your home a space that can support you in all of the areas of your life?
Absolutely. Okay, well, to start off, we can talk about how your home is a reflection of you. It's a good reminder that the state of your home is kind of very synonymous with the state of how you treat yourself. So if you're on top of things, if you're feeling good, maybe you're working out on top of your career and stuff, your home will probably reflect the same, or even vice versa. Sometimes when you're home and you're not taking care of your house, it's falling apart and you have piles of laundry, you're just leaving things out. That can reflect into your own personal life. So I feel like it's kind of like a yin-yang with keeping your home nice and organized and being productive. It doesn't have to be about buying more things or buying the newest, latest aesthetic for Halloween or Christmas or Thanksgiving decor, but it's just about keeping it clean, having the decor that you like, what energy you bring to the house, etc.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you could go into someone's really tiny but beautifully decorated apartment that is clean. It has a good aura. You can tell that the items in their place fit them. And you just walk in and you're like, oh, this is a place that feels like home. Or you could go into a massive mansion, but it could feel really sterile and empty and void of personality. So I wanted to preface this because when we get on social media, it's really easy to feel discouraged, like, oh, my home isn't as big, or I don't have a backyard, or I could make content if my kitchen looked like that, or yeah, we have to share a bedroom. Whatever limitation that you're feeling, don't let social media discourage you or keeping up with the Joneses, because no matter where you live or what size house you have or if it's, quote, outdated, I think that there's a lot of small changes and DIY projects and functional upgrades that you can make that can really help it feel like home, that don't require moving or spending a ton of money. And sometimes that's as simple as cleaning it up and getting clutter out of there, or rearranging, or doing a DIY project, especially if you're renting that isn't permanent, but can make it feel like, okay, I'm planted here. I have roots here. This is my home. And we're going to go into some other talking points, but if this is of interest to you, we did do a podcast episode 2 years ago, I think it was. We'll link it in the show notes, all about how your home's health is tied to your own emotional and mental and spiritual health.
Yeah, and I guess we wanted to bring this point up first, because if you really feel like you can't be productive at home, maybe there's a problem with how you're living. Oh my goodness. Fire alarm. What the heck? What in the world?
Cozy home vibes.
Oh, okay. It stopped. I'm like, wait, how is there a fire alarm? Or it's like an outside hotel. Okay, all good. At least it stopped. I've been in hotels where the fire alarm goes for hours.
Yeah, I'm so glad it stopped too.
Okay, wow. That was like 10 seconds. Back to what I was saying. The reason we wanted to bring this up, because if you feel like you can't be productive at home, maybe it's too cluttered, or maybe you have too much stuff. Maybe you're trying to do an aesthetic that you're trying to chase trends, or just not authentic to you. I know for myself, my office is really cluttered right now. I just have like so many notebooks, so many papers, so many things on my desk. And that's going to be one of the first things I tackle when I get back home. But just take a look at things like that and see what you can do to fix that, because I feel like that does reflect into your habits and your actions as well.
Definitely. I think it's the equivalent of if you wear an outfit that you feel confident in, then you're going to go out into the world and probably be in a better mood, look good, feel good. And then at home, if your home is clean and organized and true to you, then you can show up authentically in your home and follow through on those things that you want to be working on. Which leads me into the second talking point, which is about redefining what productivity even means. Because in our day and age with hustle culture, I associate the word productivity with like go, 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 busy schedule, jam-packed, doing the most. But I also think productivity can just also mean following through on something that you said you wanted to do or needed to do. So in the redefining of the productivity, just decide for yourself this holiday season what being productive even means. Is that truly just being present in your day-to-day life? Is it being more creative? Is it wrapping up work at a certain time of the day so that you can be with your family in the evenings? More self-care time, more reading or resting, whatever that means for you, define it. And so that way you can do the things that you don't want to do quicker and not have them weighing you down mentally. And you can spend more time doing the things that nourish you and bring you happiness and good health so that you can just enjoy your life more.
100%. And it's such a great reminder that, again, productivity does not need to be working. We're trying to do this episode just around being aware of your time and doing a hobby or doing a craft or doing things that are good for you self-care wise. That is being productive. I feel like my biggest tip for this idea in general is in the winter and when it gets colder outside, I feel like I really lock in on my morning and evening habits. And now is a really good time to reevaluate, okay, what are some of my goals for how I want to be spending my time? So for example, for me, I'm really trying to get better at stretching this winter and just right now because I've realized how stiff I am from all the travel that I did all summer and just a lot of the work travel. So, okay, how can I build in 15 minutes of stretching? I do it with the Peloton app. They have so many different stretching guides. How can I build that into my night routine? And another one, I really want to be getting better at red light therapy because there's just so many benefits to red light therapy and I have a panel. And it's like, okay, how am I going to remember to do it? And honestly, I feel like if you don't consciously focus on these things, you're going to forget. Like, we all want to journal in the morning. We all want to do XYZ. If you don't consciously think about it or like put the journal right next to your bed, you will forget. So something that's worked for me is like literally putting a time block in my iPhone notes of like how I want my mornings to be structured. The time can fluctuate. I'm not as concerned about, okay, exactly at 7 a.m. I'm going to do this, but just an order of operations so that I can start to get into the habit of remembering to do all the things and just, really locking in on the morning and evening routine, I feel like has made me feel productive because during the day I'm working, I kind of have a natural flow of what my day looks like productivity wise, but just to not let myself fall into scrolling on my phone for an hour after work, writing down step by step what I want my nighttime routine to look like has very much helped me be much more aware of my time.
As you were talking, it made me realize that a different lens of productivity could actually mean doing things that add value to your life. And with our culture and hustle culture, it's very possible to be busy, but with activities that aren't actually adding value or happiness to your life. And just because you're checking all of your boxes and getting things done, that might not actually be making you feel fulfilled. So transitioning some of those activities or tasks or chores into ones that provide value to you and make you feel fulfilled, because I know for me, that's why it's easier for seasonal depression to kick in, because a lot of the things I love to do are more conducive to, I say better weather, warmer weather. And so if I don't add in value-adding activities in the winter to my life, then that's what's going to cause me to be sad.
Yeah, that's such a good point. Value with your time. Value-adding activities. I really like that. Well, the next thing we want to talk about is having different designated spaces in your house. This is just thinking about what spaces do what in your house, because our brains do like to kind of categorize things and have different activities in certain places. And it's kind of why it's good not to do much in your bed other than sleep, because if you want to fall asleep easier at night, only sleep in your bed. Don't be laying in your bed all day working or scrolling social media or whatever else you can do in your bed. Try to keep your bed just for sleeping. But what other areas of your home can have its own identity? So if you're working at the kitchen table, maybe you find yourself not being as productive or getting distracted easily. Is it because maybe you need to have a little nook in your house or find an area for a desk? Because maybe sitting at the table makes your brain think it's time for eating, or maybe it's time for doing the dishes or whatever. So I guess if you are struggling with anything, even if it's relaxing, are you trying to relax in your office? Then you're just going to think about work. Or are you trying to relax at the kitchen table where you eat your meals? And I don't know, just with any area in your life, with whatever goal you're trying to do, how can you break it up with different spaces and categorize these actions better?
Yeah, this has been a huge one for me because I am very sensitive to different environments. So I know that if I'm trying to work with my laptop on the couch, like that is not going to work. But if I'm sitting at the desk, like to me, that means laptop open, journal open, I'm working. If I'm on the couch, for me, that is reading. We get the projector out. I hang out with Peaches. I edit. But I have to have different spaces for different things to help my brain shift into different modes. And I've told you guys how small our space is here. I mean, for European standards, it's very normal, but compared to like an American house, it's very small. So we've had to rearrange it in a way where our main living room area houses so many things. It has a bookshelf with a reading chair. It has my desk with a lamp. It has my wellness cabinet and a mirror where I get ready. There's the couch with a yoga mat for stretching, the kitchen table, and now Hayes's corner. But with feng shui and things like room dividers or rugs or the way you angle your furniture, even if you have a really tiny space, I do think it's possible to set it up in a way where you can meet all of the demands that the house needs, even if it's very small. Take inspiration from the Europeans. They have figured out how to maximize space very well, that many of us Americans think that the solution is buying more stuff or getting a bigger space. But really, working with what you have now is going to help you get to where you want to be in the future. And then a few other things that I think you can utilize besides the physical space is tapping into the senses. So for scent, maybe you light different candles for different activities, or light Palo Santo if you're about to get into a work mood, or maybe for you, you do that at the end when you're winding down. For me, at night, we close our blinds, and I love opening my blinds in the morning, changing my Wix light bulb to the cozy setting, pouring my electrolyte water, and then I get on my yoga ball and do my stretches. So like having different cues of lighting or a certain beverage can help your mind associate like, okay, I do this and then I do that, or these are always paired together. Likewise, music. I love binaural beats. So then when it's time to start working, I turn my speaker on and play this focus and create playlist. And that's just my routine and it really works for me. And then in the evening when we're winding down, we do the opposite. We close the blinds, we change the Wix light bulbs or Wiz light bulbs to red, and we always read with red lighting.
Yeah, it's all these different brain hacks pretty much of tricking your brain into getting into, yeah, whatever part of your day you need to be getting into. I love all those. I totally relate to the music. I have my coffee beats playlist. I don't know, maybe even you recommended that years ago. I don't know. I felt like that came from you. I'm not sure, but.
Oh my God, it did. I remember that.
Okay,
I haven't listened to coffee beats in a while. I need to bring it back.
It's a good one. It's probably very similar to what you're saying. It's kind of like the lo-fi focus energy, but that's a really good one for, okay, Kara, you need to focus, like lock in on work. And then for cooking after work, I like jazz. So I'll do like Billie Holiday radio or just any type of jazz. I feel like that actually gets me into the cooking mood. It feels like what cooking's supposed to feel like and sound like. So that's really fun. And yeah, I relate with the white noise as well for sleeping time. I have my Hatch alarm, which is the best and has really good white noise. But yeah, think about how you can do different things to signal to your brain, okay, it's time to do this task. And then once we need to do the hard tasks, how do we make these easier? I love your tip of the different days. So Money Mondays, I've totally started implementing that. That's a really good way to remember to do a certain set of tasks, like checking on your finances. And how I keep track of Money Mondays or a Sunday reset. Well, Sunday reset, I'm always aware that it's Sunday and I always wash my sheets, mop, vacuum, clean out the fridge. I'm lucky because my trash goes out on Sunday nights, which is great because it's perfectly paired with the Sunday reset. But that one's easy to remember. But like things on a Monday, or if you have wash Wednesday, wash your clothes, linens, bedding. I like the Google Tasks platform. It's connected to your Gmail, but it's a free task software that you can do recurring reminders. So every Monday, it reminds me to do Money Mondays. And I even linked a Google Sheet or Google Doc that is a checklist of all the things that I should do for Money Monday or whatever day. If you have, I like putting it in Google Tasks and it links to my Google Calendar. So I get lots of notifications through that. But yeah, I feel like there's a bunch of different ways. You could also just use your phone calendar to remind you and do a recurring alert. But yeah, I think having a day for the hard tasks is a really good suggestion.
Thank you. Yeah, I want to focus on that for a second. And this might be way too extra for a lot of people, but I've been wanting to mention it because since I found out about it, it's been on my mind and I've been trying to look at my week through this lens. So with astrology, each day of the week has a particular energy to it that if you lean into that energy, you're kind of like moving with the current instead of against it. So Tuesday is actually the day that you're supposed to do the hardest things in your week. And it's all about action and conquering and fire and earth energy. And Monday is a little bit more nurturing and reflective. It's ruled by water. So for me, some of the things that I used to do on Mondays, I've actually moved to Tuesday. And I find that that's actually really helped. And Wednesday is all about connecting and communicating. And I've made it a conscious point on Wednesdays to get back to people. That's when I send my voice memos, or if I have texts that I haven't been replying to, or DMs that I haven't got around to answering. Not saying I am 100% perfect at replying to every single person on Wednesday, but consciously, when I wake up on Wednesday, I'm like, oh yeah, it's communication day. And I try to either write or check in on people or do something that has to do with words. And I'll link, I've made a blog post on my website, different activities that you can do each day, but it can apply to anything from work stuff to your workouts to chores to fun activities to self-care. And I find it helpful to spread those out in the week because maybe it's the Libra in me, but I like to be more balanced. And doing all the shitty stuff, like all of the chores on Saturday, for me, I'm like, what? No, I want to go do fun stuff on Saturday. So it's like we clean a little bit in the morning, but we do also go and do things. And on Wednesday, it's like, okay, midweek, let's get some laundry done. So I don't necessarily like to stack all of one type of thing on one day, because for me personally, I don't feel as fulfilled at the end of the day if it's too weighted towards one category. I don't know if that makes sense.
For sure. No, I'm with you. I don't want to do everything on one day, especially not a Saturday. I've tried to do the Sunday reset on Saturday, and I don't know if it's your astrology thing that you're talking about, but I just can't. Like, I have to have fun on Saturdays. So I'm with you. Spacing it out. And even my Sunday reset, so I just do the sheets, mop, vacuum, you know, anything else that needs to be cleaned up. But I try to do laundry throughout the week because I'm like, doing too much on one day makes it dreadful and then you never do it. So I feel like part of making your hard tasks easier is spreading things out and finding a way, whether that's having a day or doing something fun when you do the hard task to make it a little more enjoyable. Yeah, you gotta spread it out because too much in one sitting is just unbearable.
100%. And some of those pairings of putting a difficult task to something you enjoy, a few examples. I liked how you said even listening to jazz while you're cooking because you're like, oh, the jazz music like gets you into the mood. When you're folding laundry, you could like put your favorite YouTuber on in the background. If you're cleaning the bathroom, you could reward yourself with something after. Like maybe that's when you allow yourself to get like a takeaway coffee or something. If you're meal prepping, you could send voice memos to loved ones back and forth. That is probably my number one hack. If I'm doing a chore that is a little monotonous and I don't have to think that much about, that's when I send voice memos as well. Cause I'm like, oh, this is nice to multitask. Like, especially when I'm brushing Peaches, cause I have to brush her for like 20 minutes a day and there's not that much else I can do. That's a good time for me when I check in and send voice memos to someone or have a podcast on.
Absolutely. So finding something to look forward to. For me, it's typically a podcast from doing something boring like laundry or doing the dishes or something. I just throw in a podcast and it 100% motivates me to do it. So again, I feel like it's tricking your brain into having something to look forward to that makes doing the boring thing easier.
And one last brain hack for overcoming the hard task is upgrading some of your chore supplies slowly over time. I remember a few years ago, I had the ugly mainstream brands of cleaning supplies. Like, you know, you open underneath the kitchen cabinet and it's just ugly plastic bottles underneath there. The more I got into health and wellness and good ingredients and things like that, I just slowly started saving my glass jars. And recently we talked about DIY products and things that you could make that don't have a lot of those toxic chemicals in them. And I find that the more I enjoy my cleaning products or supplies and the way that I have them organized and take pride in them, the more appealing it is to actually use them. Like, how cool is it if you've made your own laundry detergent and put it in a glass jar and hand wrote the label. I just feel like that's a value adding thing to be like, oh, I'm proud of myself. Like now I can use this. And then you add your little essential oils onto your wool dryer balls and you can feel good about making your home healthier and caring for it.
Yes, absolutely. Love that. Well, of course, with getting your things done, being productive, we have to talk about screen time and the biggest distractions that a lot of us face. It can be hard, of course, to put the phone down because nowadays we're all connected. A lot of our jobs, we still get reached out to via the phone. If you work in marketing or tech or whatever, you're just pretty much available 24/7. But also, at least for me, I know that when I'm being unproductive, I would say 3 out of 4 times, it's just because I'm choosing to scroll social media. So we have talked about having phone boundaries a lot and different ways to kind of get off your phone. What works the most for me is I have an app, ScreenZen. I've shouted it out before, but it allows you to unlock social media for 5 minutes at a time. And I feel like that really makes me aware of how much time I'm spending on my phone. But also if you're kind of getting into that doom scroll, I don't know, moment, it cuts you off so that you can be like consciously, okay, do I want to keep watching this video? Do I find this informational or entertaining? Or do I want to continue watching this? Versus, okay, you kind of just fell into the deep dark hole and now it's been 30 minutes. So I feel like even just having those apps that remind me every 5 minutes that I'm watching social media makes me way more productive or just way more conscious. And I'm like, wow, why aren't the phones just made like that? I feel like it should be.
Yeah. And another phone boundary that I've been saying for years is not charging it in your bedroom. We charge ours over at our desk. And then that's also helpful in the morning if your alarm is going off to actually get up out of bed and turn it off on the first alarm. I wanted to talk about TV screen limits because we haven't had a TV in, I think, like 4 or 5 of the last places we lived. One of the units of like the 5 units that I lived in Tulum had a TV, but I think that was it. And I still love a movie. I feel like I talk to you guys about movies all the time, but in place of having an actual TV, we have a projector at home. And I think this is a good hack because it's way more inconvenient to set up a projector because it's like, okay, we have to get it out. What are we going to watch? It makes it feel more of like, ooh, this is a movie night, or maybe we watch 2 to 3 episodes. But it's not like it's so easy. Like with a TV, you walk by, you turn it on, and then all of a sudden a few hours have passed. So for in the home, I like having a projector. And then I also feel like going to the movies is more fun because since we're not always watching stuff at home, it is fun to leave the house and go watch a movie. And I don't know if all movie theaters offer a movie pass, but our movie theater here has that. And it's only $22 per person a month for unlimited movies. And that's made it fun because then we're not just going to be like accidentally watching 6 episodes in a row at home. Like you go to a movie, you do the thing, and then it's over with. And then the third one I was going to say is multitasking with movement. I miss my walking pad so much. I wish I could just shrink it down and teleport it here. I know I could just buy another one and maybe I will soon. But when I lived in Omaha, my walking pad like got me through the winter. You could multitask anything on there. You could be on your laptop. You could be listening to a podcast. You could watch a show while you're on your walking pad. You could call a friend. You can read a book. That helps so much in the winter on those days where it was just like, yeah, it is way too cold outside. But also some people might like a stationary bike, or now I have my yoga birth ball, which is kind of placeholding the walking pad for me at this time because I need to do my exercises. But those are my other screen time hacks to knock it on the screens as much or to enhance them a little bit.
Yeah. And I honestly, I don't think there's anything wrong with watching TV or going on social media. Like you said, it's just if you're someone that falls into the habit of binge watching, like personally, a TV, I barely watch TV, barely watch shows. This isn't one I struggle with. So I don't have too much advice for that one. But I mean, yeah, it's not bad to watch TV or anything, but it's just limiting and being aware of how much you do consume. And if you do find yourself staying up till 2 or 3 a.m. watching a show, maybe it's a switch of like, okay, from now on, I'm not going to watch any shows on my laptop or an iPad. I'm going to force myself to actually watch it on TV because I don't want to sit on the couch and binge watch a Netflix show until 2 in the morning. it's like that comfort of being in bed and having a laptop next to you that makes it too easy. So I feel like with each person, you're going to have to customize these to yourself, but just being aware and finding ways to make it harder to kind of waste your time.
Yeah, it's like on one hand, you have the inputs that are keeping you from being productive. And then on the other hand, it's finding the things that you truly want to do so that it sounds more appealing and more value adding than the alternative. And that is going to be different for everyone, as Kara just said. But I think that that's like the helpful two arms of the equation.
Yeah, because I'm like, if you are watching like one show at the end of a long day, I think that's so fine. It's just finding what's good versus what's bad. Or if you like to look at social media for 30 minutes in the morning and 30 minutes at night, I think that's perfect. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's just when too much is too much.
Yep. And as with anything, even too much of a good thing can start to erode your mental health. And I mean, even the 30 minutes of social media in the morning, maybe for one person, if they're having a really hard time comparing themselves or self-doubt, and in the morning, they might need to be journaling and doing what they need to do to feel confident and hype themselves up for the day, to where someone else maybe wants to be entertained in the morning. And they're just like, you know what? This is my quiet time before my kids are awake or before I have to go to my job that I don't really like. And I just want to be on social media and see what's going on in the world. Like, it really depends on your own mental health and state and what your goals are on how all of these outside influences are going to impact you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, one more thing we want to talk about with being productive with your time, reevaluating your hobbies. I think there's been a lot of discussion about when people ask you what you like to do in your free time, at least on social media. I've seen a lot of videos about people being embarrassed because they don't have hobbies. And it's been a big discussion culturally, I feel like, in the last couple years, of making sure you have hobbies and making sure you know what you like to do in your free time other than consuming media. So if you relate to that, now is a great time and we're challenging you to reevaluate what your hobbies are, what you love to do as a kid, and thinking about these and maybe journaling about what you want to spend more of your free time doing can 100% help you avoid, if avoiding screen time is one of your goals, or if you feel bored, or like Allison mentioned, maybe you get a little depressed during the winter, now is the time to lean into those hobbies.
I wrote down a few hobby ideas if you need some inspiration: painting, baking, journaling, dancing, redecorating, practicing an instrument, scrapbooking, puzzles, board games, and you could do DIY seasonal projects. I am particularly excited this year to do some DIY ornaments because we have no holiday decor here yet. We're like starting 100% from scratch. So I've been looking at things on Pinterest. And like, for example, I found the cutest little ones where you, like, you put the baby's feet on, like stamped in. And I've seen a lot of DIY ornaments and I'm like, these are so freaking cute that this actually makes me excited to do them. And you could make it social as well. A lot of hobbies are great solo, but can be done with friends. So whether they're seasonal things like decorating or crafty type projects, inviting a friend over to do them together or even FaceTiming a long distance friend could also be really fulfilling and fun.
Absolutely. I love the tip of having friends do the hobbies with you. That makes it, one, not only could be more fun, but also holds you accountable to actually exploring what you like to do. And yeah, don't forget to get out of the house. I feel like there's so many hobbies that you can do and support your local businesses. Or I love the dancing one. I always love a dance class. That's always super fun. Can you go to the local art shop? There's a lot of concepts popping up in cities where you go and do little art classes, paint with friends, either over drinks or after work. I love all the pop-up DIY craft events. I feel like there's so many. So look and see if there's any of those in your city. But yeah, or even just having, I feel like one of my hobbies is literally just having people over to do things like watch Dancing with the Stars or watch The Bachelor. So even things like that, thinking of how you can have people over, and it doesn't have to be a lot of work. It can be a low lift.
Two more suggestions on that note, because I agree, it definitely seems like a part of the cultural movement right now. And I'm sure most of you guys have seen this on social media, is people turning their house into a coffee shop for that morning where you invite your friends over and you make the coffee and pastries. Or a new one I've seen is hosting your own farmer's market where each person brings something that could kind of be farmer's markety, like maybe someone bakes banana bread and someone else makes DIY soap. Someone else makes DIY laundry detergent and puts it in little jars. And then you each bring your items over to one person's house and then do a swap. So you each get to take one of everything home. I think that is so cute and could tie into everyone's different hobbies and expertise and be so fun to talk about, like how you made them and what inspired it and how to use it. And yeah, that's been on my bucket list. I don't know if I know enough people here yet, but maybe in 2026.
Okay, so cute. I love that one. And okay, that might have to be in my rotation for girls' nights is a farmer's market night. So fun.
Well, I think that's all we have for you guys today. We hope that this season continues to be both cozy and fulfillingly productive for you. We will link the related episodes in the show notes. And that's it for today. We'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Ori Friends. See you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.